8 o'clock hour on your home of America's team with Sean Treifort, Jay Choppy, and our Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On, live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And every year when we go to the Super Bowl, he is one of our favorites to sit down with. He is the former general manager of the Atlanta Falcons. He's in charge and running Sumer Sports. And let's get ready for the NFL season with Thomas Dimitroff on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Good morning, man. How are you?
Gentlemen, how are you guys doing? I can just imagine rolling up there. You guys are all pumped up from all the bench pressing. We're rolling, ready to go.
Oh, Choppy, he still remembers
it. He's my guy, man.
I love it.
Thomas, what did you make of the CeeDee Lamb contract with the way it ended up and all the drama that came along with it?
Yeah, I mean, I put the drama aside because there's always reasons for an approach, right, from an NFL organization, especially from someone like Jerry Jones, who has a very definitive way of doing things. Personally, my feeling has always been I would love to get my players in as a general manager early, right? I want them in training camp. I want no distractions. That's me coming up through the Bill Belichick way, right? That's just how it was. We were very mindful of that over the years. So with the CeeDee Lamb deal going down as late as it did, obviously he's a great kid. He'll be in shape. He's going to work at it. But there's nothing like the shape you'll be in as you've been in training camp, right? That is my biggest concern about it. The numbers themselves, look, this guy and where the receiver numbers are going. Do you guys remember when we signed Julio Jones for $22 million and the world lost their mind?
Yeah.
I mean, $34 million. I know Jefferson's right there at 35, right? Is it? And then is it A.J. Brown right in the same area, 32-ish? Mm-hmm. I think those are amazing numbers, and it is just the way it is. So I'm all about you guys signing him there in Dallas. I think he's such an important part of what you guys are going to do offensively. I just wish that there was a little more time to get him ready.
Thomas, is there from a contract standpoint, because we've gone back and forth, like, you know, are they costing themselves money by waiting? Is there any advantage to doing it the way the Cowboys do from a money standpoint?
Yeah, I think, you know, look, you talk about it a lot. And, I mean, I'll tell you this. Most deals in today's world, you have a really good idea of where it's going to be, just the pure APY, right? It's going to be between 32 and 35. You're not going over 35. You're going to find that sweet spot. And I've always believed in you know, effective, efficient negotiating. Some people approach it differently. Yes, you could get different parts of that contract working in a certain way with a little more time. I'm sure, respectfully, you know, Jerry approached it that way, where he was trying to make sure he got through all of this. It wasn't a pressing concern right now. There's a lot of conversation around this, right? So the sidebar is there's a lot of marketing with this right now, even not doing that, not suggesting that was the reason why. You can save a little bit here and there, but in the end, it came down to 34. There wasn't much movement in that, it appears. So I'm not really sure in the end.
Thomas, you know, with CeeDee's deal and Dak, for instance, we heard Dak a number of weeks back say, I don't have to be the highest paid in the league necessarily. And then he kind of chuckled behind that. When it comes to those contract negotiations, do we kind of miss it in the public or in our discussions about it in the media when we talk about boiling it just down to how much per year does it average out to? What is the APY? Is it a deeper discussion than that a lot of times for guys? Like, are guys looking for, no, I want guarantees, or I want percentage of the cap as new money? Like, how do those discussions typically go? And is APY too simple a way to boil down what players are often looking for?
Yeah, no question. APY is a simple way to look at it. 3-year guaranteed money is really big right now. The 3-year money is huge for a lot of the players. I mean, that used to be the big deal for us when we were negotiating all of our contracts. That's, you know, the fact that the new money is truly 34 is legit as well, gentlemen, right? On the APY, that's important to know. It's not fabricated by a huge ballooned back end. I will say again, when you go back and forth with the agents, what is a unique thing is usually, now I know Dallas is a little bit different with you know, with Jerry and Steven, how they're working together on this. But most organizations have a cap and contract person who does a lot of the minutia work, and they're going back and forth on a lot of issues. They're coming back to their general manager, and they're discussing, here's where we are to this point. And then in the very end, the GM, at least I did, and a number of the guys that I know, come back in as a heavy hand. Here's where we're going. We are not moving past 34. That is the deal. If you don't want it, don't take it. So there's a little bit about that heavy hand when the GM steps in the very end, and I'm sure – I'm sure Jerry Jones stepped in at the very end on that.
Thomas Dimitroff joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Okay, when we look at the way the Cowboys have set things up kind of structurally this year, where Mike McCarthy's on a one-year deal, Dak Prescott's on a one-year deal. In fact, Mike McCarthy's entire coaching staff is. The last time they had entered things that way was 2019, and it seemed to cause some toxicity around the halfway point of the season, where people started looking for, you know, kind of CYA stuff whenever things started to turn. Is that a dangerous thing for the Cowboys to have entering this season, just that uncertainty across the board, and can it potentially lead to guys looking for their next gig in the middle of this one?
Look, I'm sure that leadership at the Cowboys understands every little bit of what's going to happen, and they foreshadow and they project. There's a lot of that going on in today's world. We don't even get into Sumer about projecting, but the idea of projecting and where you're going to go, where the problems may be, and how you're going to handle that, I think if you're a good, sound organization and you foreshadow well enough, you have your list of things you need to take care of in those areas. To have this many important players and people with a coach up is a big, big deal. There's a lot of pressure on that organization right now. They seem like they're the type of organization, however, to be able to handle it. I like some of what they've done. I know a lot of people have been complaining they haven't been aggressive enough, but bringing in some of the players they have and some of the leadership they have, I think, is going to help that uncertain situation going into the season.
You think they can be better than last year?
I think they can. I mean, I'll be really interested to see how the defense rolls. I know, you know, with Zim coming in there, obviously I have a great deal of respect for Dan Quinn. Different defense, different approach. I'm going to be very interested to see how that all works out. I know, you know, and adding Kendricks and Micah on that linebacker side and getting the right defense flying around with a good cornerback group, that I feel interested to see where that's going to be. Again, offensively, switching over to the other side. That O-line, we're all looking at that, right? We want to see how that O-line is going to be. How is it going to be producing the run game, and how is it going to take the pressure off of your quarterback so that he can produce is something that's on my mind. To answer your question, I think they can, but I'm not sure I'm a betting man on projections in the NFL this year.
What do you mean? Who do you have in front of them in the NFC?
You guys are going to hate for me to say this. I mean, I'm really intrigued by Howie Roseman and those Eagles, right? What they're doing with that roster and what they have there, how they're building it. Now, they have their own precarious coaching situation, right? And that will be really, really interesting to see how that plays out. And, you know, look, there are some really good football coaches out there that are waiting in the wings, I'm sure. And that will be really fascinating to see how that plays off as the Octobers and Novembers come around.
Former NFL GM Thomas Dimitroff here on 105.3 The Fan. Thomas, Jerry Jones believes, you talked about pressure, and we're talking about McCarthy, one-year deals, Dak. Jerry believes that the pressure makes you better. He seems to dismiss the idea of resentment and bitterness and anyone working any differently just because their status is in limbo. Was that your experience in the league?
Look, I think pressure is a good thing, appropriately used, and we were mindful of it. I was mindful of it with Mike Smith in the early, you know, in my early tenure, and then when Dan Quinn came in, more related to you guys there. You know, Dan, he's a positive, passionate, persevering person, and he expects that in his team, and he also expects to be able to nudge those players and them, you know, come around and rise to the occasion. I believe it helped us in Atlanta with him. I believe it helped your defense that way. I believe it's important. That said, it is a different generation, and we all know that, right? Yep. You have to be mindful of that, I believe. I think there's a combination of old school and new school that needs to be utilized when you're approaching team building and team navigation, in my mind.
Thomas, we fully believe that if Dak gets to free agency, that he is gone. Like, he won't come back, maybe even out of principle. Let's say you're a GM that needs a quarterback. What is your offer to him?
Your offer has to be right up there near, obviously, the top. I would hate to put a number on it, but, I mean, it has to be right there. It's got to be, you know, and it might have to be $1 over what is presented to this date. And, again, you guys may be killing me, and everyone in the organization may be killing me on that. But I think you have to go strong. I mean, we all know it's not easy to land that quarterback that's going to win the games that you need to win. I think he's a heck of a quarterback with the right surrounding cast and the right offensive line.
Thomas, are you paying him more because you think he can win you a Super Bowl, or are you paying him because you don't want to go without?
That's a good question. Do I think he has Super Bowl winning potential? No question about that in my mind. I do know that it is an uneasy feeling as a team builder to know that you're going in to changing your approach. And they've been with Dak for how many years now, gentlemen? Quite a few right now. To go into that rookie mode or to go into a free agent coming in, that's a completely different building process. And that's not the easiest thing to do. And it is really uneasy when you're thinking about years to come. And if you're also thinking about, you know, what's next to come on the leadership level, right? You know, look, the reality right now, I don't want to be commenting on Coach McCarthy's situation. I don't mean that. But when you're looking at the big picture and you're looking at what are the next steps for your organization, you know that attracting potential coaches into the future, hopefully it's years to come, you have to have the right quarterback in place to attract the bona fide head coaches. You know what I'm talking about.
Thomas, for a long time we compared Dak to Cousins. There's a lot of hype around your former organization. Are you a big buyer in what Atlanta will be this year?
I think Atlanta, again, I think they have a really good roster. I think what Raheem has done along with Terry Fontenot, you know, continuing to follow up with what the organization has done, they have a lot of really powerful offensive tools to put around Kirk as he's healing, to put around, you know, Michael Penix if he does have to lead the season off. You know, there's a couple spots on the defense that they're looking at closely, of course. I just think it's a good roster. I think now they have to take it to another level, right? They have to take the belief that they are a winning organization and not a middling organization to another level. I think they can do it. I really do believe in what Raw can do coming in there and ramp that team up as far as their personality, toughness, aggressiveness, and edge. And I think that's going to be an important part. Take that talent to another level.
Thomas, you know, we've seen in recent years the pushing forward of, okay, let's really get the passing game, the vertical passing game going. And then it was, you know, pre-snap motion and then at the snap motion. There are always these trends that we start seeing the NFL copy when somebody's really pushing forward. With what you guys do at Sumer, what are you seeing as kind of forecasted as like, this is the next trend that's really going to take over the league?
You know, you hit me on that when I'm supposed to have the answer to that. We are literally sitting down talking about projections today. When you guys get me back on, I'll talk about it all seriously. But I would hate to go into that right now. So hold that next conversation you have with me, please.
Okay, well, one more thing with that. Do you see something like it's cyclical being where the running game comes back to prominence?
I think the running game is vital, and I do believe that. I believe the movement is going to be important for that offense, right? A lot of that is important in today's game, and I think it will continue to be that way. I think your coordinator has a very good grasp of that. I mean, the way that Schottenheimer approaches making sure that the run game is facilitated properly is going to be an important part, I believe, of the success to your quarterback as well.
Thomas, we love having you on as always, man. Keep it going over there at Sumer Sports, and we'll have you back on to answer that one question as the season starts.
Well, remember, we have Lindsey Rhodes joining us. Lindsey Rhodes and I are doing our Sumer show, so we'll be really excited. Maybe we can get you guys on our show to speak a little bit.
Absolutely.
I love it.
We're down for it. Thank you, Thomas. Enjoy the start of the season, man.
Thanks, gentlemen. We'll talk soon.
Thomas Dimitroff, who joins us at the Super Bowl with a colleague. That colleague got hired by a team.
Yeah. Eric Eager. He got hired away this offseason. I believe it was Minnesota, but he got added to a front office.
Thomas Dimitroff on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Apparently, Michael Jordan couldn't play defense either.
What?
And what do you want your kid to call you at work? Next on Sean and RJ.